Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 217, top of the day to you, Tom.
Strap in, Leah. I'm ready to rumble.
Oh, that is so exciting. Look at the energy that we've already produced. It's only downhill from here.
That's it. We're going to start hot and then just inevitably peter out. But that's okay.
That's how things happen. It's the universe.
I'm just tired from collecting all this news. I've got bundles of news.
I've got quite a lot as well. I wonder if, because it hasn't happened since, but I wonder if it's one of those news weeks where we end up having the exact same stories. I think it happened about a month ago.
There might be a few things, yeah, but I've got a couple that I'm pretty sure you won't have.
Okay. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by the packet of biscuits you've had in your cupboard since last lockdown. You still haven't eaten them, even though they tempt you every day. Your willpower is astounding. Well done. The Stone exhibition to be held over the next 3 months will be extended for an additional 2 months. Organisers have said that in order to fit in all the guest speakers, exhibitors and estimated 500,000 daily guests, the extra time will be much needed. As you know, the Stone exhibition has been held twice a year each year for the past 45 years. Annual passes are the best cost-effective way to see all the things on offer. And we are pleased to announce that we have partnered with the Stone Society. And if you use our code NEWSLETTER, you'll get 10% off family passes. Patty McQueen says her Long Life burgers have been flying off the supermarket shelves since their launch earlier this month. Despite initial public concerns, people seem rapt in how well the massive amount of preservatives have kept the lettuce crisp and out of refrigeration for months. She's on her way to becoming Watchersville's 2,000th billionaire. Well done and welcome to the club. Low-flying aeroplanes have been annoying the poor residents of the southern county for a while now, and they've banded together to complain about it on social media. The local newspaper has picked up the story, which led to the local radio station picking up the story, and the local TV news channel did the same thing, and then bored housewives around the country discovered it, and they too have picked it up and made a lot of noise about it on social media again. The airport's flight control have said that they're now telling pilots to go higher so that their Twitter account isn't inundated with complaints 24/7. It's hard directing planes and keeping up with DMs. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. All right, well, why don't you kick it off then? I mean, just show us.
I'm going to kick it off with a fun fact that's not film related that I just learned this morning.
So we're getting two fun facts.
Do you know what a group of turtles is called?
No.
A bale. A bale of hay.
Why? Well, who comes up with these words? Like, who sits in the room?
I was looking at stuff to do with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yes.
And then somehow a group of turtles is called a bale. How did I not know? Anyway, that's not newsworthy. What is newsworthy, mm-hmm, if you're in a very small subsection of people that are super fans of Jeremy Renner?
Yes.
Jeremy Renner has a new TV show coming called Jeremy Renner Presents Renovations.
Okay. So we're not even sure if he has any interest in renovations at all, because that sounds like the whole premise of this show is based on the fact that his name is Reno.
So it's not renovations of houses.
Oh.
He's a big fan of restoring cars and taking old cars and repurposing. So this purpose of the show is to get old cool trucks, vans, fire trucks, all sorts of stuff, and refurbish them as vehicles for the community. And then they're given to underprivileged communities in America. That's pretty cool.
It is cool. That is very cool. Because I mean,
I don't know if it's like Jeremy Renner pimps your ride.
That's what I was thinking. But then it sounds like there's more to it than giving it to a college student with an Xbox in the boot. So
yeah. Who knows what it'll be? I don't know. I think it'd be very cool. And I've worked a lot of charity events at children's hospitals, and in Sydney we have a mermaid truck that goes around, and you know, it's a truck with a pool in the back, that mermaids swim in. Mm. I reckon it'd be pretty cool if you got a truck and repurposed it into a swimming pool for communities that didn't have a swimming pool. Truck shows up, everyone has a bit of a dip, splash around, cannonball.
Oh, yeah, that's good fun. Such a fun summer activity because summer's arriving in over in the Northern Hemisphere, so that's total possibility. I also would be quite happy with a guest starring with an episode, in an episode, I should say, of Exhibit.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Exhibit has weirdly come back into my sphere lately. I make no secret, I'm a fan of Papa Roach. You may remember them from the early 2000s of being quite angsty with their metal. They hang out with Exhibit a lot. I don't know why. They're just friends from a very specific period of music history.
They must have met like on the festival circuit or something.
Probably doing Family Values Tour 2001 or something like that. Opening for Limp Bizkit and Incubus.
Oh my gosh. You've just rattled off the biggest names from that era. I mean, you throw in sort of like a Survivor and a Big Brother, and that's everyone's
life.
Life and entertainment.
Everyone's
back
life.
Then.
If they needed to cheer up, you put on a bit of Avril Lavigne, and she's also making a comeback at the moment, hanging out with bloody Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, really? Okay, so she's been a bit cool. He's a bit cool, I think. Is he a bit cool? He's a bit cool.
Yeah, yes, Leah, he's a bit cool. He's a bit cool, that Machine Gun Kelly. I always laugh because when I see his name, Machine Gun Kelly, and people are like, he used to be a rapper and now he's a pop punk guy. And I'm like, no, Machine Gun Fellatio were a Sydney band.
Yeah, that's right.
And they did some weird songs.
Yeah, really weird, really funny. I remember seeing them at the Barracks in Sydney during summer. Sydney, I don't know if they do at the moment, but used to do a whole heap of different cool things like that where they were like, here's this band in a place you'd never think they would be.
Yeah.
Enjoy. And very early
I've seen American rappers at the Barracks for I think it's Australia Day celebrations or something.
Yeah,
like that,
right,
January.
Right.
Yeah.
But I remember Connie from Sneaky Sound System had a bit to do with Machine Gun Fellatio back in the day. I think that's where I saw her first. So there's a lot of memories flooding back, and that's all from the early 2000s as well, right?
Well, let's all take a moment to say thanks, Jeremy Renner, for facilitating that trip down memory lane for us, and I look forward to seeing what the hell sort of renovation he gets up to.
That's right. Oh, that's amazing. Well, I've got a bit of
I told you you wouldn't have that news story.
No, I definitely didn't. No, 100% not. I've got some casting news where there's a little bit of interest that sort of it's a cross-section of a whole heap of people's different television and musical tastes. So Andrew Rannells, he was in the original cast of The Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. He was also in Girls as well. Anyway, he's going to be playing Murray Bartlett, who is the Aussie actor from The White Lotus that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
So he's going to be playing his boyfriend in Hulu's Chippendales miniseries called Immigrant. Now, this story gets bigger in that Kamal Najani is going to be the main star, and he's the bloke, he's going to be playing the bloke who came up with the whole Chippendale idea.
Right, of having a bit of a dance and taking off your pants.
That's right, but I think he was more the businessman.
Okay.
From creative from it. I don't know. I haven't seen the miniseries because I haven't made it yet. But that's what it's all about. I think there was a bit of drama that happened around the Chippendale world. So I suspect that's going to be in there as well. But whenever I think of Chippendales, I just think of Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze dressed up as two blokes auditioning for it for SNL back in the day. So I hope they reference that because for me that is. That is what I remember. But they couldn't have either of them in the film, could they? Both have gone.
No. Hmm. No, maybe they could use footage. Maybe they could be watching that on a screen in the background. It's funny you keep saying Chippendale. There was a new poster and a very short clip from the new Chippendale series with Andy Samberg and John Mulaney. And
Rescue Rangers.
I am all about it.
that has to be soon, right? Because I feel like we got news about that a while ago.
Yeah, it's not long going to be on Disney Plus. It's a movie, and the tagline is not a, what was it? It's not a reboot. It's the same or something like that.
Good.
And yeah, it everything I've seen is very meta and weird about it so far.
Give the fans what they want.
But I think more people will be more interested in Kumail and just a whole bunch of sexy blokes taking their kid off. Because Magic Mike, they're going to do Magic Mike 3. And you know that's going to end with Channing settling down and choosing fatherhood or something like that.
Yeah, it's got to happen, right?
It's got to happen.
It's got to happen.
So more dancing for the pants off films, I'd say.
Pants off dancing. Yeah.
Acme's number two customers, right behind Wile E. Coyote. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
A cool little story. So the Book of Boba Fett wrapped up last week. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But someone noticed something very cool that had happened at inside Disneyland and Disney World. Sorry, Disney World specifically, in their Galaxy's Edge, which is the Star Wars land. So in one of the shops, the Mandalorian's helmet is hanging on the wall. That's been there for quite some time. In fact, I might have even been there before opening, before The Mandalorian had premiered. They were already seating that. Well, someone noticed that there's a tiny bit of chainmail hanging underneath the helmet.
Cute. That's awesome.
And no one's quite sure when that first appeared.
Yeah, right. Because if you don't know, you don't know. Do. Yeah.
You don't know. Now, one of the set designers is actually saying, look, it's just a piece of chainmail that we hung up because it looked cool and it's worked out rather serendipitously. I don't
believe
on that
at all, because that would not be your reaction if that's the case. If you just put that up because you thought it was cool, you'd be like, we cannot believe we put that up there because we thought it was cool. Yeah. And then it was a major plot.
Yeah.
No, I'm not buying it.
I think that's awesome. That's awesome. They often talk about that's an evolving land, and they want to express that through very subtle storytelling that people have to go looking for and stuff. And I think that is one of the greatest examples of that I've ever seen.
Wouldn't it be great that, I mean, we've got 3 Star Wars series coming out this year. We've got Obi-Wan.
Yes, that's one of my stories. May 25th.
Okay.
Look forward to that. That's all I've got on that.
Oh, well, we've got that. And then I think, I can't remember the order, but Ahsoka maybe and or after that?
So Ahsoka I don't think is going to be this year.
Okay.
They're still casting that. But you're right. Andor. And then Mandalorian is
Mandalorian,
already filmed,
that's right.
I believe. I think they filmed that in December last year.
Very excited for all of this. Very excited.
Yes, lots of Star Wars action.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
Snoop Dogg and Kelly Clarkson are two people who have had music careers and television careers and do their own presenting in their own way. Is this a story you've got?
No, but I'm really enjoying where you're going.
This is the one I thought we would both have, right? So they have been announced as the hosts of NBC's new musical competition called American Song Contest. If that sounds like something you know, it's because there's such a thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before, but European Song Contest. So the Eurovision. This is the American take on that, right? So you've got, how long has Eurovision been around for? Like 50, probably more actually.
A long time.
Very long time. And is watched by over 200 million people worldwide every year. So America's gone, why don't we have a crack at that? But you know how like they have their sport, I think it's baseball they call it, the World Series, but it's only
just
America. Yeah. So this is their version of that. So they're going to be doing it by state. So each state will have their own contestant who comes in, sings a song, and I hope it's as Eurovision-y as Eurovision is. Like I really hope so, because that's the point, right? To make it as glitzy, glamoury, campy as possible. That's what everybody wants.
I hope they theme it and like the themes like incorporate your state bird.
Yes.
Or use interpretive dancing around your song to represent your state's best national park.
Pretty sure Finland has done that for many years, right? Like Unbelievable. So this is coming out this year.
So Snoop and Kelly are the presenters,
yep,
or the judges?
Presenters. They're the hosts. Okay, cause that, so America, that's good, cause America will America's, be the judges.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's how Eurovision works, isn't it?
Yes, you're right, with voting, but there's also a panel that maybe gets some extra points or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I feel
yeah.
Snoop very much represents your West Coast, mm-hmm, and Kelly is a good
Southern
Middle America girl.
Yep.
I feel like you need a Beastie Boy or
someone really into lobsters and chowder.
Maybe the singer from The Strokes. I don't know. I'm trying to think of who's the most New York person that you could distill New York's essence.
What about the drummer from The Strokes? He always felt very New York-y.
Is his name Albert Hammond Jr., I think? Something. Oh, that might be the guitarist. Who knows?
Very good name.
Never really cared for The Strokes.
Anyway. That's another early 2000 thing.
I will definitely fuck with that. That's my kind of jam.
I hope we get it here. I suspect there's a crossover about to happen.
I hope Hawaii sends a fat ukulele player. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do this by state, really, really, really lean into it. Like Alabama, or send in Bubba Sparks, like a down south dirty rapper.
Alaska has a pilot, because aren't most people in Alaska pilots, right? Because they have to be to get around. So they have a pilot, but who refuses to record anything outside of the plane whilst flying it. So it's just all this background noise of the propellers.
Yeah, like ambient weird electronica. Yeah. Aphex Twin in a plane. Aphex Twin biplane.
There's so many ideas. It's brilliant. What else have you got this week?
Look, I was stoked. You know, I've been devastated by the breaking of Impractical Jokers.
Yeah.
And waiting to hear what will happen with the gang. Now, Joe's set out. He's doing solo tours and he started a podcast, all this sort of stuff. So some people are waiting for the shoe to drop of whether he did something or not. And other people are going, you know what? It kind of feels like maybe he just couldn't work during the day anymore.
Hmm.
And that's why he's doing, you know, he can still go on tour at night and this sort of stuff. But anyway, the guys have announced that April 2nd, they are returning with an Impractical Jokers special.
I love the date, right?
Yes, they couldn't do it April 1st because no one would believe. It's going to be the first time that, now I believe it's CBS that owns the network that shows them and another network, and it's going to premiere at the same time across all three networks.
Yeah.
And it's not a official fourth member, but the fourth member for the special could not make me any happier because it's Eric Andre.
I was about to guess that. I was like, could not make Tom any happier. Eric Andre, maybe.
It would Eric Andre or someone from Jackass, and Eric Andre is perfect because he is as ballsy as them.
This is going to come along really quickly, you know, because we're halfway through February. March is going to fly by because that's how the first half of a year goes, just flies, and then you'll be watching it and enjoying yourself.
I'm so excited. I it's going to change the scope of the show so much because Joe could go real crazy, but he was also the one who would be the voice of reason and bring things back in and, you know, was very involved behind the scenes, whereas Eric Andre only seems happy if things have gone wrong.
Yeah, that's right. It's good when things have gone wrong and or have become incredibly awkward.
Yes, it's going to be chaotic. That's his thing. So stay tuned. I'll be filling you in on that.
Look, it's the middle of February, so it's time to talk about Christmas movies. And there's a movie that I've never actually watched, a Christmas movie that I haven't watched yet. 1983, A Christmas Story.
No, I've not seen that.
I've never
either.
Seen it, but I've seen like the little kid with the blonde hair and the big glasses.
Every
like
time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Well, it's also getting a sequel called A Christmas Story, Christmas. And they've gotten already four of the original cast, including that little kid, to come back. And he'll be reprising that character, but as an adult, taking his kids back and trying to give them the wonderful Christmas that he had. So this is so when I think about Christmas movies, and I shouldn't, But when I think about Christmas movies, I think of Disney Plus, right? But when you get to Christmas time, when you get to December and you start looking at all the different streaming sites, Disney has the classic ones that you know Disney will have, but a lot of other streaming sites will have the other big classic movies as well. So I kind of feel like Christmas movies are distributed evenly throughout the streaming services. So this one is actually for HBO Max. So they're I don't think about HBO Max as a Christmas thing, but Christmas movies get
Santa Inc. That was that stop motion animation thing with Seth Rogen and Sarah Silverman. About Santa retiring, but it was not pro Christmas. HBO Max is far more edgy and adult and deluxe.
But I feel that everybody needs to have a really good Christmas movie in there, right? In their streaming service, because that's going to get so many numbers, and it's going to get so many numbers every single year.
Oh, yeah, and it's reusable content. It's why Disney do the kids' movies. You know, there's always a Halloween-themed one.
Yeah.
I saw there was an announcement for an upcoming film that's got stars from Andy Mack and zombies that's called Promposal.
Promposal, that's a great word. I love it.
That's how much they're targeting.
I'm on with that. Yeah.
Occasions through the year.
Promposal.
Promposal.
Would Shay watch that, or is she be a couple of years too young?
Yes.
Yeah, that's happening. All right. Well, she can come and review it.
One thing I saw this morning that I tagged you in, which is exciting. Obviously, we're excited for Friday. There's a lot of stuff happening on Friday this week.
I'm not
Horizon
doing anything.
Forbidden West comes out.
You know, have you seen the reviews?
They're good. I stayed up late reading reviews last night. I was all set to dive in on it, but all the reviews are like, no, you've got to play the first one first.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree because I have heard that the beginning of the sequel, they sort of say, this is what's happened. This is what the world is.
Mm-hmm.
But uncovering that story for yourself was such an amazing thing. Like even if you, and this is such a gamer, open world gamer term, but even if you mainline it, so just do the main quest, you're still going to be able to get that story in there and uncover that. And then you can dive in. But I will more than likely play it by next week, not the whole thing, because I'm going to take my time with this one.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited about it.
So, okay, this is weird crisscross, right? So I should have been playing Horizon Zero Dawn, but I didn't because I've been building the giant Lego Hogwarts castle.
They're going to put it in the window.
But then I got excited this morning because I can be distracted later from when I should be watching the new Fantastic Beasts movie, instead I could be building Horizon Forbidden West, a tall neck Lego set is coming out on May 1st. It's, I think, 1,500 pieces or something like that.
That's a tall neck.
I think it's going to be about $200 Australian. So it's a good size. It's part of the 18-plus range.
Mm-hmm.
So it's aimed at older people. And boy, oh boy, does it look like something you'd be into.
Oh, yeah, it looks great because the tall necks are Horizon's equivalent of Far Cry's.
And Assassin's Creed where you've got to climb the tower.
Yeah, you climb right up the top and then, you do the dive. And, exactly. And basically what it is it's a puzzle to get up there. You got to try and figure out how to get up to the top, and when you get up to the top, it opens up a new area in the map for you to look at. But what I love, right, she doesn't do the dive. What she does, she jumps off backwards, throws a bit of rope up there, like she's got the hook, right, and she hooks the top of the tall neck, and then just slowly, what would you call it? It's not. Abseil,
belay.
I guess. Yeah. That's a better one. Just down there. But the way that she just goes, I'm just doing this all backwards. Whew. Head to the sky. Yeah, not faster. And so much so that sometimes when you do it in other games, I'm like, why aren't they doing it like that?
Well, look, that's May 1st. That's very exciting.
Cool.
As I said, Friday we've got the Horizon, which is coming out. But the other thing that may distract me on Friday from diving straight in on that is Cuphead show.
It's
dropping on Netflix, season one. Now, you remember I loved playing Cuphead.
It's really hard, right? It's supposed to be really, really hard.
So hard. It's so hard. I never finished it because it's too hard.
Yeah.
But I love it. And it's the animation style is amazing. Well, the animation style is adapted to the TV show. There are 11-minute episodes.
Oh,
I think there's only 8
time.
Or 10 of them or something like that. And it looks like mayhem.
Oh, okay.
We'll come back and let everyone know.
Yeah, I might watch a bit. Do you think you'd have to have played the game in order to figure it out? Surely not, right?
No, not at
all.
All you need to know is it's about Cuphead and his brother Mughead.
Okay.
They love getting up to fun and adventure. Cuphead has accidentally sold his soul to Satan, and he has like 72 hours of actual gameplay in order to get it back or he goes.
Okay, I love that premise. That's so good.
And they get distracted every level.
Okay.
Yeah. They're lovable and they just want to do the adventures and they forget.
It happens. It's like anybody playing an open world game. So you've got Paramount Plus, right? That's one of the ones that you subscribe to. So they did their company's earning announcement and they've got at least – well, it's been out in the US for almost a year, I think. I don't think as long here, though, right? Might be a bit less.
No. A couple of, or maybe 2 months or something.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, they've hit a 32.8 million subscriber count, which is not too bad if it's only been out in other parts of the world for a few months. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that, like, obviously we talk about saturation point with these kind of subscriber things. Like, you've got to start picking which ones you want and which ones you haven't watched for a while before you really commit to one or the other. And I know that we've heard Netflix's numbers are kind of plateauing a bit just because there's only so many people in the world, you know. And I just think it's interesting that Paramount Plus, which to me feels super specific. It's Paramount stuff, but it's also like Viacom. Is it CBS kind of?
They're a conglomerate, so they have a lot of channels.
Yeah, right. Okay.
The big hook for our family is they have Cartoon Network and all that you know, the history back end of all that sort of stuff. So we have the I did have the US version. We now have the Australian version specifically, so Shay can watch Bloody Loud House.
Yeah, right, okay.
She just wants Nickelodeon and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, okay. Oh, so it's got Nickelodeon in it, does it?
Yeah.
Cool,
so,
cool.
And a lot of Comedy Central, I think, from the States, and South Park.
Oh, of course. Well, that's a big hook then, isn't it?
Yeah, so it is weird. They each do kind of, you know, I subscribe to a bunch of them and they all have their strengths and weaknesses. HBO Max is slow as hell here in Australia, but that's because it's not in Australia. So I wouldn't know. Wink, wink. Peacock has got tons of stuff and they're real good at updating very quick and it's all the wrestling's there. Paramount Plus has got tons of kids and comedy. Disney Plus has got
the big, expensive, fancy
big shows that I want.
Netflix has, it's got the weird stuff that you don't know if you're going to like or not, so you give it a crack.
That's what I mean. Netflix is a bit more
roll the dice. Changed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind it, though. Like, I don't mind that. I can just
go on
there
now
and have a look.
The Netflix Marvel shows go at the end of this month. There's a lot less reason for me to jump back in on Netflix.
Yeah, right.
Because I still do. Go back to them. Anyway. Yeah.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
This is the name of someone who has inspired the quiz later on. So Jack Quaid, I just wanted to say that Oppenheimer is a movie, a Christopher Nolan movie that's coming out sometime. It stars
Cillian.
Yes, Cillian Murphy. I think Robert Downey Jr. is in it. I know Emily Blunt definitely is, but Dennis Quaid has been cast in there as well. So that's a movie that's coming out at some point in time. I think it's sometime next year. So that's one to keep your eye out.
It's the first Nolan film that I've been interested in some time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Which I know is a controversial statement because a lot of people love his stuff and more power to you. But
you pick the ones you like.
I love the story of the Manhattan Project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a killer cast coming together for this.
Very much so. Very much so. So that's one just to keep in the back of your mind that is happening. Also, another thing that's happening, and I don't know if you ever played the BioShock games back in the day. Anyway,
but I'm aware.
Yeah, okay, cool. So you know about the big brothers or whatever they're called, big boys. But it's like...
Yes. I think it's a big boy and a little sister.
Yeah, little sister, that's it. So it was set, the first one, I think maybe the second was set underwater in this decaying world that was supposed to be. Supposed to be like utopia. It didn't go right. So, and then the third one is up in the sky and I think that's called Columbus or Columbia. It's been a while since I played it. Good games, really weird, creepy undertones in there. Netflix and Take-Two Interactive, who own BioShock, are coming together to create a, I don't know if it's going to be a series of films or a series, but they want to make BioShock universe.
That's awesome, because like between Arcane, which I still haven't watched all of because I'm purposely enjoying that one.
Yeah, I love it when you can say things. Yeah,
Castlevania and this Cuphead show. Netflix is becoming the go-to place for video game adaptation. They've got a Sonic show coming later in the year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's a good call going BioShock with them.
Because you can get weird, a bit more adult-y, you know? Very exciting. And those are my stories all done. So let's get into these trailers because you've got some good ones.
Well, yeah, nice. So I'm very excited for Jurassic World Dominion. We've talked about it a lot. It was supposed to come out last year and then the pandemic happened, so they couldn't film it, and it meant that they could add more to it, all this sort of stuff. So that's due June 10th. We had seen some weird things before the Winter Olympics of people, of athletes interact with dinosaurs. The new trailer that came out was mega. There's everyone's back.
They got the gang back together.
They got the gang back together. We're getting a pyroraptor, so we're going to finally have a raptor with feathers. There's a what appears to be either a brontosaurus or an apatosaurus. They're the same thing. At one point, awesome.
That's very awesome. Cool. Very cool. 10th of June.
Very cool trailer for March 11th on Netflix. We're getting the Adam Project. And we had talked about this last year, the new Ryan Reynolds time-traveling movie. And I got serious Amblin early 80s Spielberg vibe. It doesn't look like Ryan's not the main character. The little boy who is Ryan in the past is the main character and has to team up with himself to save their father or something.
Who is Darth Vader? I think
it's Mark Ruffalo.
Of course it is.
Yes,
that's awesome.
It looks really good fun, and it's all the same people that made Free Guy.
Cool. Yep, I'm behind that. Then I'm going to watch.
That's it. If these guys, if Ryan can do a Deadpool or something, you know, continuing a franchise every 2-3 years and then spend the rest of the time making one or two completely original ideas like this, that's awesome.
That's totally cool. Down with that. Very happy.
And then did you see any of there was a 30-second Super Bowl trailer for Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness? And then there was a much longer online trailer. Did you happen to catch either of those?
No, I saw the Amazon, the Lord of the Rings one.
Oh, the Lord of the Rings one, yes.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of cool ones from Super Bowl. I didn't even write down Lord of the Rings because this Doctor Strange one was
blew your mind. Yeah, nice. I liked the first Doctor Strange, so this is going to be one I'll watch.
This trailer made it feel like, hey, have you watched the Disney Plus series? Because if you haven't, you aren't going to understand this movie. It feels like it might be not a sequel to them, but they were all setting it up.
Yeah.
Because we see scenes of Scarlet Witch talking to Wanda, talking to herself back in the Malcolm in the Middle episode.
Yep.
Of WandaVision.
Okay.
There are hints that things are tying into what happened at the end of Loki. Mm-hmm. We see what might be the really corrupt Doctor Strange, the Supreme Strange, Or it could be a zombie Strange from What From If.
From What If, yeah, okay.
You know, so they're tying all these sorts of different things together. However, there's a brief shot of someone displaying powers that look an awful lot like Captain Marvel, so Brie Larson, but it's not Brie Larson. Mm. It could be Monica Rambeau from WandaVision,
mm-hmm.
who we saw got powers yep. from an alternate universe.
Yep.
But it's kind of obscured enough that this person might have a goatee.
I would love it if she had a goatee.
Well, it might be a guy, and it might be a multiversal version of Iron Man. There's a period. There was a period where Iron Man had.
What if it's Tom Cruise?
Yes. Well, there's one series of Iron Man. It was called Superior Iron Man. There was a storyline where some of the characters had their personalities inverted. So the worst villains became good guys and the best heroes became bad. And Iron Man became Superior Iron Man. And he created it was a drug called Extremis, which could make you incredibly good looking. And he gave it free to all the people of San Francisco for a day.
That's so nice.
And they all got hooked and then had to buy it every single day from then on out. Anyway, Tom Cruise playing that version could be very cool. But the moment that blew up the internet was the shot of Benedict Cumberbatch being taken before what looks like a jury of perhaps a multiversal version of the TVA from Loki or something along those lines. Some sort of Illuminati, the power behind the multiverse. And we didn't see the face, but from behind, an elderly, bald gentleman in a suit with Patrick Stewart's voice told him he didn't know what he was doing. So are we getting the X-Men?
We might be.
There's so much more. There's a poster that's come out and people have found Captain Carter's shield in there from mm-hmm. What If. Someone's convinced that there's that Deadpool is hidden in a broken pane of glass, giving a thumbs up backwards.
that's very
there's
specific.
Some really, they're teasing all sorts. There's a Minotaur in the trailer. You know, there's going to be some bonkers gear in this, and this was supposed to come out before Spider-Man No Way Home. So they had to change and reshoot a lot of this film because Doctor Strange had already done that spell.
Yeah, he'd done all
that brought
that.
In the
okay.
multiverse and okay. this sort of stuff. So if that was opening the can of worms of let's play with other characters we've had before, this feels like throwing all the Lego on the table.
Yeah, right, okay. That's a nice analogy.
Yes.
That's really cool.
May can't get here soon enough. Bring it on.
That's very exciting. Any more trailers?
Not that I wrote down about.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
But it's okay. I'll make it up to you.
Yeah.
A tasty double-pronged fun fact.
Oh, double-pronged? Okay, let's dive in.
All right, double-pronged. So we're talking about Jurassic World.
Yes.
Because we've got the new trailer. And it's funny that you said that in the Christmas story that the original character is coming back
yeah.
and playing him grown up. So a popular fan theory has it that Owen Grady, who is mm-hmm. Chris Pratt, is the grown-up version of the boy that Sam Neill intimidated with a raptor claw at the dig site at the very beginning of Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Owen's understanding of pack hunting behavior then could be explained by the warning that Grant gives him in Jurassic Park. And Owen also says to work with raptors, he has to show them respect, something yep. Grant also warned about. However, the original actor, Whit Hertford, dismissed the idea, saying guys like me don't grow up to look like Chris Pratt. To be fair, though, mate, guys like Chris Pratt didn't grow up to look like Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And he had to, get involved in the Marvel machine.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other fun thing is, you'll remember, I think I talked about it last year, I watched a documentary about the abandoned Six Flags theme park in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It turns out that was one of the – it's been used for a lot of movie productions. I know Zombieland filmed that, all this sort of stuff. The scene where there's the big, long boardwalk and all the shops in the middle of the theme park was built there. They built a 300-foot by 200-foot main street and boardwalk in the amusement park's abandoned parking lot, shot there for 2.5 weeks. So that's the scene at the end of the movie where everything's gone horribly wrong. People are running away and there's pteranodons grabbing people and yeah. throwing them into the Mosasaurus. Yeah, So yeah, they filmed that in an abandoned theme park. That is pretty creepy.
It's almost like that theme park should never be redeveloped or anything, because
it would be in Hollywood's interest to just buy that land and maintain it enough to be used. But yeah,
still have it looking a bit, bit dilapidated. That's cool.
How are you going?
Because that was another fun fact, I'm sure, from before, Lex. And so your fun facts are now sort of merging
into
each.
I'm trying to meld things together.
You're making a fun fact universe, multi-universe.
There you go.
Very impressive. I think we should get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's talk about Boba Fett. Boba Fett.
Let's do it. Now, you were saying you bunched up episodes, correct?
Yeah, I bunched up a couple, the last couple. And
are we talking two or three?
Just two. But okay. I probably could
so
have bunched
the
three.
You knew it had taken a weird swerve into being Mandalorian season 2.5.
Yeah. Which I was not angry about having that one episode about, right? But then when it went into more, I thought, I'm enjoying the content, but I feel like this is not in the right place. This is not where it should be.
So there's been lots of chatter about whether there were behind-the-scenes issues caused by COVID, whether they weren't able to do as much Boba Fett as they wanted to and decided to bring the first two episodes of Mandalorian season three forward, because it kind of feels like that. They go and address some what felt like would be major plot points of the next season.
Definitely.
Are all nicely tied up in a bow. And that's cool. You know, it can set off in a different direction. It definitely feels like it's going to be focused on that, on the Darkblade.
Yeah.
And going to Mandalore and stuff, which is cool. Maybe that means that Boba can be brought back in later, but On the flip side, maybe he truly doesn't give a shit about all that Mandalorian stuff.
I don't think he does. I think it's got nothing to do with him,
because he's a clone of someone. You know, he's not raised in that.
No,
it doesn't buy into any of it.
It's not his upbringing. It's not his beliefs at all.
And it just, I don't know. It felt weird that the show ended with him winning and then going, I don't know.
Yeah. But he's got he does have a little gang there, though. Like, some of them probably don't need to be seen ever again, but there are a few others in there that he could go off and help, or, you know, help the Mandalorian or somebody else later on with.
We're going to see that Black Wookiee again.
100%.
Because he's a big character from the comics over the last couple of years.
And they introduced his backstory, right? So he's been given the backstory. So you don't do that for a character that is just going to hang around and be part of this bounty.
I kind of feel like they've set up Timothy Oliphant.
Yes, agreed.
To get a series. And that might be the series that was originally going to be Cara Dune, the Gina.
Sure.
They put a foot in it, and they didn't go that direction. Feels like it could be a lot of fun setting up a Western show of a law abider.
Well, that's what Mandalorian and Boba Fett have already kind of been, right? That Western. I know it's because they're on Tatooine, but his character is so Western, like cowboys, all that sort of thing. But I wonder if seeing where his character was at the end of Boba Fett, if we suddenly see him, I don't know, I feel like there's a revenge story there now for him.
Sure.
Because he was just trying to protect, and you know that's not the last we're going to see of the spice trade trying to get through there.
Well, he's going to come back with some cool robot bits.
Yes, he will.
Very interesting. Maybe it'll make him a quicker draw. if you could get some stuff done like that and you're in that role, wouldn't you get Inspector Gadget gun fingers?
Oh, yeah. I'll get you next time, Gadget. I thought I'd give it a go this time because I didn't want you to hurt your voice.
Oh, I appreciate that. I will say that of the entire Boba Fett series, the moment that made me go, what? The most was when Mando had to fly commercial and had to unpack all his weapons.
Yeah.
And it stayed on that scene for what felt like 90 seconds.
I thought something was going to happen with them.
I was sure that he was going to get off the other end and the blade was nicked or something. It wasn't. What? Why did you do that? There was some. I think Robert Rodriguez did all right. The finale was great fun.
It was fun.
But it kind of shows what happens if Favreau's not fully in control.
Yeah.
Because Favreau wrote it.
Yeah.
And through the lens of different directors, it was And then you had Bryce Dallas Howard come in and do an episode written by him, and they worked together on last season of Mando, and the show just clicked again.
Yep.
And you're like,
yep.
Okay.
Isn't that funny?
This is weird, but it is a director thing, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of thought that, and I understand because it's different directors everywhere, right, in different episodes, but I kind of felt that the Mandalorian stuff may have not have been as jarring if, particularly in those maybe the second last episode in particular, if it was mixed in with actual Boba Fett stories. So if we were going from one to the other, then it didn't feel like this is two episodes of Mandalorian for you in this other show.
Or call it Mandalorian, the Book of Boba Fett, or, you know, the Bounty Hunter adventures continue or something like that, and make it, you know, clearly they want it to be an anthology type show, and they're adding different characters and they can just keep plugging into this part of the universe they've created. Yeah. But by setting everyone's expectations up on Boba Fett and then very quickly making everyone realize that they already made a Boba Fett show, but more interesting than Boba Fett could be with The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they painted themselves into a narrative box or something.
Hmm.
It sounds like we're being really negative. I still really enjoyed it. But it was a very odd beast.
Yeah, there were bits in it that were strange, like those really colourful, like almost Vespers. Like 1950s Vespers. I thought they looked really strange. But there were other bits in it that I really like the fact that you, like that last episode where there was no way they were going to get through the force fields of those turret machines, right? There's no way.
The droid deckers.
Kept trying, and with their powers combined as a team, they were able to overcome it. But it was cool that not one person 100% destroyed them.
Yeah.
Like, you
always
know.
Always had to be a family effort.
Yeah, that's right. And the fact that he, Boba Fett, has such a strong connection with the Tuskens, that's really cool because it almost feels like that he has found his home on Tatooine.
Yeah. I did enjoy the payoff to that of when he went back to the palace to get the Rancor. When he comes back in, you can see that he's wearing the Tusken stick on his back. He's ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if I'll do another watch of it. Maybe I will get a little closer to the third season of Mandalorian, but I enjoyed the fact that I was able to watch some Star Wars stuff every week.
Yeah, I won't watch it again. I don't need to. It was cool.
Yeah.
Thanks. I enjoyed
Thank
the
you.
Content.
Yeah.
What have you got next, Disney?
Yeah, that's exactly it. What else have you caught up with this week?
I want to talk about Peacemaker, but I'll keep that for next week because I think there's only one more episode left of that.
That makes sense.
If you've not caught any of that, that's the best show I've watched in a long time.
Cool.
I will go in depth on it soon, but it is elevated superhero television. It is like an 8-hour movie. So stay tuned. We'll go deep dive on that.
Perfect.
But look, I ended up watching Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, yeah. What's that like?
That would be appropriate to talk about because Ivan Reitman passed away a few days ago and his son directed that stuff. We really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
We watched it, Lynn's Shay and I, and it was on the edge of way too scary for her. So she didn't stick with it, and that's fine. But it feels very much like Spielberg 80s kids movie type thing to start with. There are moments that are very Goonies, all this sort of stuff. Paul Rudd is great fun as the teacher guiding them along. But then, and I won't go into too many spoilers, somewhere along the line, about two-thirds of the film, way into the film, it suddenly becomes super beholden to the first Ghostbusters movie. So it was like it was its own thing for ages, and its own thing was cool, and it kept unwrapping these mysteries that made it connected to the others. And then suddenly it switches into being like slavishly tied to the first one. And it was still fun, but it was less good when it was so focused on trying to match what had come before rather than telling its own thing. So it does leave it in a spot where it could combine the two tacks moving forward, and it mm-hmm. definitely seems like they do want to move forward. And there's just a lot of awesome shout-outs to the original Ghostbusters and this sort of stuff. But, yeah, man, Paul Rudd is so good.
Yeah, I mean, he's Paul Rudd, like,
he's polar. He's lovable in everything, but he's playing a guy named Mr. Gooberson or Grooberson or something. And
great name.
He's just is a goober.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He's basically Rick Moranis.
It is one I want to watch, so I'm glad that you enjoyed it because.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. It's not one I need to go back and see again soon, but we had fun with it.
Yeah, that's cool, and that's all you need. One that I kind of had fun with was a film with Charlie Day in it on Amazon called I Want You Back. Mm. So it was I came out a few days before Valentine's Day.
May I ask, is that the one with – is it with Jenny Slate?
Jenny Slate. I like her. I do like her.
I saw the – I like both of them as well. Yeah. I saw that and I was like, maybe I should watch that. So tell me about it, please.
It's a bit of fun, to be honest with you. It's a bit of fun. So the premise is Charlie Day and Jenny Slate play characters who have never met before but individually get dumped by their partners. And they find out that they work in the same office building as each other, and they meet and they catch up and they kind of drown their sorrows in a drunken karaoke night together. So you know how you can get the karaoke room so it's just your group?
Yeah.
So they're singing
Ding Dang Dong style.
Exactly. They're singing all of the 90s songs that you would imagine, like Natalie Imbruglia's Torn. They spend a lot of time singing You Ought to Know by Lance Morissette, all that kind of stuff. And they bond over that and they have a few more drinks and then they come up with this plan, right, that surely both their exes made a terrible decision because they're meant to be with them. So Jenny is going to try and seduce Charlie's ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend, played by the wonderful Manny Jacinco.
Oh, yes.
Who is, you know, amazing in everything. And he's such a heartthrob in this, right? He's so dreamy. He's even got dreamy longer hair than I mean, he had short hair in The Good Place, but even in Nine Perfect Strangers, I don't think his hair was as dreamy. So he's being like a dreamboat. So she's going to try and seduce him so that what's her name? Gina Rodriguez, who was in Jane the Virgin. She was Jane?
Yes.
So that she will see the error of her ways and go back to Charlie, where Charlie decides that he's going to help Jenny out by making friends with her ex, who's a personal trainer, and sort of just big up Jenny the whole time, you know, talk about how great she is, all that kind of stuff. And it gets all really convoluted and ridiculous as these plans, of course, don't come to fruition. And in normal rom-com world, you watch the first 5 minutes of the movie, you go, okay, so this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. There'll be funny stuff in the middle. I'll just go along with the ride. Pete Davidson's in it for a little bit. He's got a cameo. That's quite funny. He's playing a very Pete Davidson-y kind of character. And look, for a weekend evening or even afternoon, it's a bit of fun. I thought Charlie and Jenny were really good together. They played each other played off each other really well. And I thought the rest of the cast were really good as well, particularly Manny. I mean, he was just just been the heartthrob. At one point in time, they look at his Instagram account. It says something like artist, director, human, and they go, "Oh, he's a human man! Congratulations for being a human man." Very fun. So yeah, if you got Amazon Prime, it's on there. Go watch it.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you want to touch on, or do you reckon we can go into this quiz that I have?
Can we do it?
Beautifully cultivated. All right.
My hands are sweaty, palms weak, mum's spaghetti.
And now the quiz can start. Funny you should say mum, because this quiz is name the actor's acting parent or parents.
Oh, all right.
Multi-generational. All right. So if there are two, if the mother and father are famous, you can say it. If you only know of one, just say that word. It's fine.
All right, all right.
We're going to go with Maya Hawke, who was in season 3 of Stranger Things. I'm pretty sure she's going to be in Stranger Things season 4 as well. Maya Hawke.
Maya Hawke.
Sometimes the last name is a giveaway.
I was going to say, judging by the last name.
Yes.
Is her father Ethan Hawke?
Therefore, her mother would be?
Big Bird.
Think early 90s. Think early 90s.
Gian Garofalo?
Quentin Tarantino. What else?
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman, yeah. She looks like a real mix of both of them as well.
Sure.
She's not more Uma than Ethan. More Uma than Ethan. That should be a T-shirt. What about Kate Hudson?
Kate Hudson.
Once again, you can only say one name if you only know one name.
I can say both?
You can say both.
Her father.
Is Mr. Hudson?
Yes, Hudson Hawke. Everyone's least favourite Bruce Willis character. No, her father is Kurt Russell.
Her stepfather is Kurt Russell.
Oh, her mother is Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn, that's right. I mean, when I say stepfather, like,
this is her daddy.
She basically grew up with Kurt Russell.
And they're not married, and that's Linda and I's deal. You don't ever get married, just be awesome. And then make up a fake last name for your kids.
Perfect. Don't need to. There are no rules that say you have to do that. So why not?
What was her father someone Hudson?
Yeah, someone Hudson. That's why she's got a brother. I can't remember his name. His last name is Hudson as well.
Steve
Hudson. I'm not sure. I can't remember if he was an actor as well. He had something to do with movies. Very good looking couple though.
Mm.
Very good looking children. Speaking of children, Ben Stiller is the child of.
Ben Stiller is the child of Jerry Stiller, who was George's father on Seinfeld and many other.
Yeah, he's been. But that's what he's most famous for.
Visual exploits. And.
I'm going to be so impressed if you get the other one. Like, I know her face.
I'm trying to pull the name. It's not Rhea Perlman. She's married to Danny DeVito. What's her name?
Starts with A. I'd be so impressed if you get this.
I'm not going to pull it.
No. Annemira.
No. Yeah, see, I wasn't going to.
Yeah, I know what she looks like, but I would never have known her name.
Oh, you know what her voice is.
Yeah, exactly. You definitely know the voice, probably more than the face. That's for sure. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis. Now this is the tough one for me.
Well,
the name's her mum.
Yes,
her mum, famous for having a shower. Things go wrong in the shower, correct?
Yep. Her parents' last names are in her name.
Lee and Curtis. But I can't remember.
So the Tony father, Curtis? Tony Curtis, the father, like he was a bit of a man about town, right, with the ladies. Mm. So I think there's definitely other Curtises around. Jamie is not the only one.
What was mother's name?
I can't believe I'm Janet.
Janet.
Yeah, Janet. I get Janet Lee.
God, forgive me.
Janet Lee and what's her Tippy Melanie Griffith's Adrian? Mother. Yeah, I get those two mixed up because they were both in Alfred Hitchcock's movie. Both sure. Blonde, both actresses, both with famous children actors as well. So far out. Well
done. Keeps us on our toes.
I'm only after one name for this one, Laura Dern.
Laura Dern. Well, I'll take a moment because I know the name on that one.
Mm-hmm.
It shares the name with the Great White Shark from Finding Nemo.
That's it.
Voiced by Barry Humphries.
That's right.
Fisher Friends. Bruce Dern.
Mr. Bruce Dern, absolutely.
Mr. Bruce Dern. I saw him in a movie a few years ago. I think it was called Nebraska. Yeah, with Will Forte. Really good.
Did he win an Oscar, or at least he was nominated for one for that one?
Yeah, for that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Final one. The great Carrie Fisher. Now, she had a sister, right? Well, she has a sister. She had a sister who I'm pretty sure was in sitcoms in the late 80s, early 90s. I feel like I want to say Ellen sitcom she might have been in. She was in a few of them. But her mother has been in a lot, like Singing in the Rain. She plays Grace's mother in Will and Grace. Was she ever in Friends?
I can't remember her name.
Mm.
Everyone at home screaming along saying, Tom, you're an idiot. We're recording very early on a Wednesday morning, which we don't normally do.
No.
We've got a deadline. My friend keeps getting me awake.
We just have to get this done. All right. So, her initials are DR.
Diana Ross?
No, Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds.
And Eddie Fisher, who I think was a director. I think he was, I'm not sure if he was an actor himself. Oh, it's very. Sure. He was years ago.
That was a good quiz. You found things that have stumped me.
Yeah, but it's the kind of thing where you're like, oh yes, that's right. I know that she has famous parents, but I can't for the life of me think who they are. So you either were going to get it or not, you know.
Well, I understand now why you got excited about Jack and Dennis Quaid.
That's right.
Not Meg Ryan, because no one gets excited about Meg Ryan anymore. Poor Meg.
I know. Poor Meg. Well, that's going to be about it for us for this week. The only thing left for me to say is, Tom, thank you very much.
Clever girl.